Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, January the 5th, 2024, and it's a big morning here on WGH. It's a big news morning, I guess is what we should say, because if you're just tuning in this hour, again, it's tough to go back through this whole thing, but Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis announced on December 11th that she would be resigning January 5th, which was today, 2024, and would be taking a job in the transit department here in Marion, and that's what we all believed until last Sunday when a special meeting was held in Marion to overturn the mayor's vetoes on the pay raises, which did not happen. During that meeting, in a little contretemps between then-Mayor-elect Bill Collins and Mayor Scott Schertzer, the question of the deal, which is how it's referred to by Mayor Schertzer and several other people, was brought up of how did she end up in the transit department and out of the auditor's office. And as of 5 o'clock yesterday, the day before the resignation, this letter came from the office of the auditor. I am writing you to notify you of my decision to resend my resignation from the position of city auditor effective January 5th, 2024. After further reflection, I have realized that my decision was hasty and not in my best interest or of the city of Marion. Since submitting my resignation, I have had the opportunity to reassess the situation, and I believe that the circumstances surrounding my resignation need additional review. This has led me to reconsider my decision to resign. Yours sincerely, Miranda McGinnis. And she stays in that position as of today. Joined in studio this morning by Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Jason, we were talking there during the break. What needs to happen during Monday's meeting?
We need to have an open, very open conversation about what the circumstances surrounding Miranda McGinnis' resignation and what changed, what transpired, and get that out in the open and hash it out, discuss it, see what we need to do to fix that from ever happening again, whatever it is, and move on.
Now, is there any way Miranda McGinnis can stay in this position?
In my opinion, I don't know how she can, unless she comes Monday the Miranda McGinnis she was 2 years ago when she first came in the office, and by that I mean she has to come in and is it make changes in her office and her appointed positions. She definitely has to surround herself with confident people, and then I would take a different look at her staying as the auditor. But if she comes in and it's still more of the same people, same players, same problems of not answering questions, not being prepared for meetings, there's no future.
What if she came in that meeting on Monday and said, I have decided to stay. I feel it's in the best interest of the city of Marion. I have fired the entire staff. I'm replacing them with better people. I feel they have not served me well.
Right. Well, I'm not advocating for people to lose their jobs.
Right. But if
she sees that and she says that, and these people are stellar people, because that office needs strong leadership, whether it comes from her or from her deputies. If she has a plan and she lays out she articulates a clear plan and vision moving forward, I'm open-minded. I will listen to anything she says.
Do you have any sympathy for her at this point?
I have sympathy for her personally. Absolutely. I mean, she was set up by the party, her party, and she should have never been considered for that office. She should have been considered to be a deputy or someone in that office for whoever the party put in, but it should have never been her. The party did her a disfavor.
How did she become the auditor?
She was appointed by the Republican Party.
And
how her name came about, I have no idea.
And it's my understanding she was never a Republican. No, she said
She's made that firm. She, in fact, she went through the process of dropping the R beside her name. So I don't know how she came about. I would imagine I think that her father-in-law was approached because he's a CPA, I believe, and I believe he's a retired CPA. He turned it down. I think that's how her name came up. I don't know. Again, this is this.
And she doesn't have any experience in this field, is what we understand, correct?
Right. I believe her closest financial work experience was a cash clerk at Target, I think. It was a cash clerk somewhere. And I don't know what a cash clerk is, but it was for a department store.
And not demeaning.
And then no. That's perfectly a honorable job.
That was just the job.
That's what she was doing.
So, but how does that happen? How does the cash clerk at Target become the city auditor in a city where the auditor has just resigned because it's the office and the auditor are doing? I don't want to. Well, let's take the office out of that. The auditor himself was doing such a bad job. Not a good time for somebody to come in with not a whole lot of experience.
Right, and not defending the Republican Party, but I'm sure at that time they were scrambling to find somebody, and they scrambled to find somebody to run for that office just for the only reason was just to oppose a Democrat, not to let them run unopposed. So the original candidate had no business running for auditor.
You know, clearly there are people in this town who like Miranda. She won election, even though she was unopposed. She's been in this position. Clearly people like Bill Collins. He won his election overwhelmingly. Yep. As far as I know, they're both good people. I have no reason to believe they're not. Why are we in the position that we're in? Why did this even have to happen? Because, as we've talked about, council was taking steps to remove her. Her resignation had been called for more than a month before December 11th. Mm-hmm. Why did Bill do this? Why did he have to do this?
I don't know. I can't picture any scenario or try to dream up any conspiracy or whatever of why things had to happen the way they happened. I don't know. The remove Miranda from the city auditor's office train had left the building, and one way or the other, there was going to be a separation.
And by all accounts, had things happened that way, and there never was a job offered in the transit department, she did not announce her resignation on December 11th, more than likely, she would be on her way out about this time anyway.
Yeah, I firmly believe that if the resignation wasn't given on the 11th or the 18th of December, that Aaron Rollins would have moved forward in January, the first week of January, probably sometime this week. He would have filed with the courts or whatever that process is, and then we would be just waiting on a time before a judge for them to decide whether she stays or if she goes.
If no answers come on Monday, is that okay? Do we just skip over and say
no answer is never okay? And that's the problem we've had with the auditor's office, is no answers. So and then that all always leads to people trying to fill in the gaps, and it's usually incorrect information, but they're struggling to fill in the gaps because there wasn't answers given. I hope questions are asked. I hope honest questions or answers are given, and we can come to a conclusion and move on from this, because this has become the focus instead of the city's finances and what we can do for our taxpayers.
Right, and I think the city's finances are of paramount importance for most people, but clearly this has become an issue for people, how this was done, why it was done, and now the fact that she's staying and how she addresses it in this letter are a big deal.
Yep. And when those questions will be asked, and hopefully we get answers, and I truly, truly want closure with this.
Couldn't we have had closure if anybody who was involved in that meeting would have said something December 12th?
What meeting?
The meeting between Miranda and Bill. And
so if there's a meeting that we're thinking took place between Miranda and Bill, one of those two would have to say something. We don't know what was going on with any meetings between them two.
Well, when that whole thing initially happened, which led to her resignation, because it's a while ago now. It's December 11th.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody would have just... I mean, there was a council meeting that night. Bill was involved in that meeting. We know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He was present at that meeting. If somebody would have just said, what happened? Would any of this have happened?
I don't know. And I believe in one of the meetings, Mr. Ratliff was asking what happened, what deals were made, or what was said in whatever meeting that took place, and they just weren't answered. But
can that happen Monday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People can choose to not answer. They can choose to not answer honestly. But I hope that's not the case, because it would be an unfortunate situation if we don't reach a conclusion Monday night.
Well, and that's what I... Because I want to get back to payroll here. But if that happens Monday, if the answer again is I'm not going to answer, or whatever it is, or whoever's there on Monday, can counsel just say, okay, I guess you choose not to answer?
I don't think it's in some council member's ability to just accept that.
Is it in yours?
A question asked, receiving no answer, is not acceptable to me.
So do you just keep asking, or is there some way to figure this out?
Yeah, there's always a way to figure it out. Do we really want to go the route that we did with Robert when we was trying to get to the bottom of his IRS mistake? So at that situation, we made a special committee for that investigation, if you want to call it that, and we also even threatened subpoena to swear people under oath. Do we want to go that route? That's an option.
Does that need to happen if the questions aren't answered Monday?
I would have an open mind to discussing going that route. If it appears to be that something terrible happened, whether it's I'll just leave it at that. If it appears that we're not getting straight answers, honest answers, and appears there's more there, then I would be open to discussing doing a similar committee that we did with Robert.
Because I think now what has happened...
And solely just to get it away from council. Because if it's always brought up on full council on matters not on agenda, we're not getting anything accomplished.
Well, and ultimately this becomes the problem with her not leaving at this point. There is a question, and if it's not answered... probably not going to go away, and it is going to prohibit council from making any headway in any direction that they would like at this point.
So as we're sitting here talking and thinking, I think I'm leaning more towards let's dump this into a committee. That way we can separate it from city business, and those that want to attend that committee can choose to attend that committee whenever it's called.
And just to ask this again, because now we've talked more, and I mean, things come as you talk. This just happened at 5 o'clock yesterday. Is it a good idea to continue to remove her starting Monday if we don't know the answers to a lot of these questions?
Yeah, as you and I are sitting here talking, it we could be portrayed as the bullies now if council continues to move forward. If there is a question that something happened to garner her resignation.
So at this point, you would feel more comfortable knowing the answers before the process continued to remove her?
Exactly, yes.
So that's where we are on that. Now, what happens if the city doesn't make payroll at some point? How long can this go on, selling off investments and so on and so forth?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. We need the auditor's office to tell us what revenues we get monthly, and compare that to our expenses monthly. And then we'll have to make the decision, if our revenues aren't meeting expenses, then we have to go back to divesting more funds. Now, Friday, oddly enough, when some council members thought it necessary to call a special meeting to increase salaries, we received a notice from the IRS of $225,000 of further penalties that we have to pay. So
quarter of a million dollars.
Quarter of a million dollars, and we just did $246,000, a quarter of a million dollars a couple weeks ago. So we're $500,000, and so and the 246 that we just paid, that was part of the funds that we divested to cover payroll. So now we're sitting at another quarter of a million dollars. Are we divesting more funds to cover the new IRS penalty that we just received Friday when individuals were trying to hand out raises?
Does the city have a lot of funds that we can continue to do this?
So
to divest?
We have an account at Fifth Third. It's a long-term funds account. I forget what it's called, but it's funds from different aspects. However the city receives funds, whether it's grants, it's OPWC dollars for sewer projects, or if it's income tax, that's put into that. So not all that money can be used for general fund. So if we have a grant or OPWC, I'm probably saying that wrong, but a sewer project loan, we can't take that money and use it to cover payroll on the general fund side, because that then you're commingling funds. And we don't have a real grasp out of the auditor's office what those funds are that makes up this Fifth Third account that is roughly $14-15 million now. It's less that because we just took out close to $2 million, I believe, is what we just divested. So it's less that. And we need to know if it's general fund things we need to pay and we don't have cash for and we divest it, we need to know what monies we're divesting can actually be used for general fund and vice versa.
And tax dollars cannot be used to pay off fines.
Correct.
Right. So in the end, what happens here?
So tax dollars are not supposed to be used to pay fines, but we do use general fund dollars to cover those because the IRS will get their money regardless, which in December, sorry the date escapes me, Miranda McGinnis drove to Independence, Ohio with assets in hand to give to the IRS, because if we didn't pay the 246, they were coming after assets or bank accounts or equipment, whatever they could liquidate to get those funds covered. That will happen again if we don't pay this current $225,000. So we have to pay it, and then what we have to do, we have to go back after, we have to recoup that, and the only way we can recoup that is like we did with Robert Landon and Kelly Carr, we went after their bonds. Their bonds will cover it. Now, the IRS penalties that we're seeing currently are still under, or the majority of them, the high dollar ones, are under Robert Landon. So those are the years that he was in office. We've already gone after his bond. So I don't know what we do for that. It could go as far as going after him personally, but I don't know if the city has the stomach for that right now.
Jason, you've been on council for a while when the city seemed to be running okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really all about the election of an auditor, Robert Landon, who didn't have the qualifications to do the job? Is this why the city is divesting funds to make payroll? Is this why we're questioning a second auditor's resignation? Is this why a mayor is being questioned about a deal that could have a new mayor? Is this why the city is in poor financial shape in a lot of people's eyes? Did it all? Is that the critical moment that started the dominoes that put us where we are today? Pay raises being voted in that people were upset that had to be vetoed?
All elections have consequences. If you go back to when Kelly was first elected, she was a new auditor. Her first term, the same guy, Ayers Ratliff, was on her, just like he was Robert, and just like he was and is with Miranda. Kelly had a learning curve she had to figure out, but with Kelly, she surrounded herself with good people. They eventually figured it out, and on her last audit, or her last several, I'm sure, but I know most recently, her last audit, she received several awards or accolades for her financial papers or auditing or whatever she did.
Now, I would say, and I think most people would say who've been to city council meetings, that Miranda's most vocal critic has been Ayers Ratliff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when we spoke to him on Sunday after the veto meeting, I'm not saying he thinks she would be the best auditor in the world, but he did seem to have sympathy for the position that she has now been put into. And at that time, we didn't know she was sticking around in this position.
Right. I think anyone would have sympathy. I mean, I do have, and I don't have any emotions whatsoever. I got the emotions of a brick, and I feel bad for her. She was put in a bad situation.
So, is it really all her fault?
So, she was put into a bad situation. She accepted it. So once you accept it, and her first day, or her first or second day, within the first 2 days, Ayers and I went and sat down with her and told her these are specific dates that we're dealing with Robert's IRS stuff, and she was off to a good start because she was listening, she was on dates, she was meeting dates. Something happened to where she started ignoring dates, ignoring phone calls, and why that happened, what happened to cause that. So, yes, there is blame for her.
Is it solely on her?
Yes. Ultimately, it is, yes.
In your opinion, does the auditor's office need restructuring?
Absolutely.
Not just with the auditor.
If restructuring, if it's a new auditor, the appointed positions need to be considered. If Miranda stays and she wants to stay for the full 4-year term, she has to lay out a very articulate plan. And I won't demand, but I will hope that there is a restructuring in the appointed positions that she can change. She needs to surround herself with good people.
Should the process continue to remove her now that she is staying? It was my understanding that 4 elected officials, is that a thing anymore? Had to recommend
this? Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily elected officials, it's electors. So any registered voter
could do it.
I believe that's what it is. It could be elected officials, but I don't think it's elected officials. I think it's any registered voter, any elector.
Because at that time, I believe it was Mayor Schertzer, yourself, right. Ayers Ratliff, right. and Mr. Rollins.
Right.
And Mayor Schertzer's not in office anymore.
Right.
So do you think the other members of council, 5 of which who are new, are all on board with this, who haven't been there?
So oddly enough, as big as an issue as this is, the new council members, I have not had that conversation with them.
So
because the new council members, what they're worried about is their first day, their first vote, and the organizational stuff. That's pretty much all the conversations I've had.
Monday, if and when the no confidence vote in the auditor happens, at this point, because it is a different council that has voted no confidence in her in the past, and the tiebreaker, who was Todd Schneider back then, is gone,
mm-hmm.
Maybe is there a possibility that she might survive that vote?
Maybe Miranda's talking to the new council members about her situation, and maybe that vote will change.
In light of everything that's going on, should that vote happen Monday? Because it is the 3rd. If it did pass, there would be this vote on record of no confidence in her. Should that happen Monday, or should that be put off until some questions are answered?
I think what should happen when we get to that part of the meeting is we have the discussion about her resignation and see what answers we get, and then to decide what we should do with that no confidence. Because the no confidence is still there with me, but I don't want to put myself in the same position of being the bully. And if we postpone it another 2 weeks to the next council meeting, I'm okay with that, because again, I don't want council to look like we are the bullies, because she's already claiming that someone has bullied her potentially. So
now all that being said, who needs to answer the question? Is it Bill? Is it Miranda? Do they both need to answer it in a public meeting? How does that need to happen?
I would hope that Miranda would get up, state her side of the situation, Collins states his side of the conversation, and we go from there.
Did you ever dream that 4 days into a new mayor's term that this is where we'd be?
I've lived that nightmare. And you go back 6 years, we changed. It was the first time in, 20-some years that Republicans had a majority. And we made the mistake of changing. I call it a mistake because it was a political decision to change Irene Fulton to someone else as the clerk. 42 days of absolute hell is what I lived for that decision. These 4 days feel exactly like that. So I've lived this. And it's unfortunate, because that's all we talked about for 42 days. Every meeting, we used to have special meetings. It was ridiculous, but that's all we talked about was we removed someone from office, which it's up to council who their clerk is. But we did make it political. We didn't talk about any city business, and we destroyed an individual, because on the 42nd day, she finally stood up and shouted in a council member's face, "I effing quit." And that's all they wanted. They wanted that reaction. So we have a history as council, I guess, now that I'm thinking about this or saying this out loud, of bullying people. So this is kind of how we operate, I guess.
Is that the positive image to have?
Hell no. I forget about these things, but as we talk about this, yeah, we're monsters.
Well, I mean, that's very candid.
Said to myself, I never want to go through that again.
So,
I'm right back here in it again.
And it comes back to the question, do you want to go in Monday shooting for Miranda and her job again?
I guess I have some self-reflection to do.
It's just very odd, I think, when people are listening to this whole thing, because it doesn't sound like it could be happening, and yet it is.
I know. It's been a strange 3 weeks. It's just been odd. I mean, everything's just been strange.
You know, reflecting back on these pay raises, because that was the lead story last week, what in the world was that? Was it really all about giving your friends a raise? We talked about it, but that sounds so crazy.
It sounds crazy. It probably wasn't. So go back 4 years. A very similar situation happened. Council was trying to give raises to the elected offices. These increases were $2,500, $5,100. The same players that showed up Sunday for the special meeting were the same individuals that said no. Why would they say no to a $5,100? I don't think anything was over $2,500 of an increase. Why would they say no to that, but say yes to $20,000, $30,000, $60,000 increases? Is it because 4 years ago they didn't like that person? Is it because Sunday that, they like this person? You draw your own conclusions for that.
Isn't that the thing that people like least about politics?
I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
That what you just described.
Because it should be the office.
Yeah.
It should be the office of mayor, auditor, and even council members. I put in a lot of time. And I know everyone thinks that they're the hardest worker and no one else does anything as often as they do and work as hard as they do. But $9,000 a year, I can make that in a day or two with what I do. It goes back to a civil duty, yes, but there's a lot of time committed to it. And as a council member, it's what you put into it. And there's some that just show up for the meetings and that's it, which that's okay. That's all you're elected to do. But those three positions, I think, are underpaid. But you got to balance that with your financial situation.
Has what has happened to the Democratic Party here in town, which a lot of people feel is the collapse. We now have 9 members of city council who are Republicans, 1 Democrat left standing.
Yep.
Republican mayor, Republican auditor, Republican treasurer, Republican sheriff in the county, all 3 Republican county commissioners, Republican prosecutor, and not many people running for those positions who are Democrats this year.
For the countywide races, I don't think there was any Democrats running except for treasurer office.
I think that's it.
And I don't know if any Republicans tried to run for treasurer office.
Why is this?
I don't know. All I know is, and this is another little sidebar, newsflash, my petition wasn't certified. So I'm not even on the ballot.
Now, what happened there?
A lot of bullshit.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't.
That's okay. No. It's one of those mornings. what happened there?
Well, if you want to talk about my petition, we can.
Well, we can. Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I mean, it's because last time we talked, we thought you were running for commissioner. Certainly not.
So, I went to get my petition, and I don't. You guys don't know me that well, but I'm usually pretty loud when I go into an office. I make my appearance known, and I went in with the intentions of running for the county commissioner seat that is currently held by Kerr Murray. And I even said I was running for that the last time I was
running. Right.
So my question was, I couldn't decide if I wanted to run independent or as a Republican. My problem was, as a Republican, I was just elected as a Republican. Can I even, because this local party is, I don't want to be associated with the local party. Now, actual Republicans in the city and the county, I don't have a problem with you. It's the local organization. So I wanted to consider running as an independent. So I pulled petitions for both a partisan office for Kerr Murray's seat and the independent petitions for Kerr Murray's seat. So the Board of Elections gives you a checklist. It's a, I don't remember the title, but it says all candidates must read before circulating your petitions. And it breaks down everything you need to do when circulating your petitions. It gives your 50 signature requirements, and it explains what a signature is. Tells you the deadline that they need to be turned back in. It tells you the fees associated, and it also tells you the date commencing for the office. The Board of Elections employee writes in that date. They highlight all these sections, your 50 signatures, your $80 fee, the date it's due, and they highlight the commencement date on your petition. The individual that helped me put 1/1/25. Well, shit. Kerr Murray is sworn in on 1/2, January 2nd. So the Board of Elections deemed my petition invalid because they cannot say without any doubt, that I circulated my petition and people do not know what office I was actually seeking. And the Board of Elections said in the meeting that it's not the Board of Elections' responsibility to tell you how to run for office or to tell you what dates offices commence on.
Even though they wrote it in there?
Yes. I have the original and the individual. When we was at the board meeting, the individual was called up and asked, is this your handwriting? And if they were mumbling, but it should be recorded and on the record. But again, they were mumbling. And I believe she said, that's not my handwriting. And another board member said, it sounds like a he said, she said situation.
But it was their handwriting.
It is clearly not mine.
How does that happen?
Hell, I don't know. I have no clue. So I don't think that the individual that helped me get my petitions, or that gave me my petition packet, did that on purpose.
If that person would have went and said, listen, I did it. It was my mistake. I'm sorry. Would you have stayed on the ballot?
No.
Still would have won.
Well, there's a whole different dynamic to why I think that, but I'm not the only one.
This happened to others.
Tim Mooney.
Okay.
His was rejected for the exact same thing. The individual that helped him, he circulated his petition, and he made it very clear that he was running for the seat occupied by Andy Apfelfeller. His petition, or his information that he was given for commencement date, was January 2nd. Well, Andy's commences on January 3rd. So he had signatures on his petition. He had 1-2-2025. And then he went to change that date. He struck out the 2, put a 3, dated and initialed that 3, but the board ruled that they can't say when the people signed after he changed it. So they had to assume that it was for the 2nd instead of the 3rd, which was the January 3rd is the date he wanted to, the seat he wanted run for.
So this all happens because of an error in paperwork?
Yes, sir.
And that's it?
Yes, sir. So you got these asshat Republicans. I'm really sorry.
No, listen, that's a motion, and you know what? That's good that somebody's got it.
And that are on this board, I know that they are saying terrible things about Colorado and all these other states that are keeping Trump off a ballot.
Oh, okay.
What the hell are they doing in Marion County?
Well, do you feel they made the right choice?
Do I feel they made the right choice for who sits on the Board of Elections as the Republicans? No. They need removed.
Do you think they purposefully knocked you off?
So, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is just what my gut is telling me, because I know how that party operates.
How does that party operate?
Not very well. But this is my thought. After I was rejected over a ticky-tacky type situation, Andy and Kerr, before petitions were due, were both saying they didn't think they wanted to run. But the way that party operates, and there's evidence of this through the recorder's office. You look at the recorder. Recorder wins re-election, decides to retire, the party appoints. That's happened the last 4 recorders. That just happened. So where I'm going with this is, Andy and Kerr decide to run, secure the position, because incumbents have the advantage. They do. That's fact. And Andy's well-liked, Kerr's well-liked. I like Ayers, or I like Kerr. Ayers, not Ayers, Kerr. And so they're going to step down at some point, and then the party will appoint their positions. And I have a name for who they're going to appoint.
Oh, so this is a
Yes. So
If this happens, this ain't going to look good on their behalf, but go ahead.
That one of the 2 will step down, and when that happens, I don't know, but during their term or even before they take it. But I believe that Lynn Zucker's son, I believe his first name Jonathan, will be appointed to one of those positions.
Why him?
That's just who my gut is telling me. I don't have any other reason, but I truly believe that that's who it will be. It will be. I got 2 names.
Okay.
So
let us know. Let's see if this is Las Vegas.
So it's the 2 positions, the 2 individuals appointed or be strongly considered for will be Jonathan Zucker, Mike Neff.
Mike Knapp, city councilman.
This is just me, my thoughts, my gut, and how I know that party and how they operate.
Now, so what?
And Lynn is on the board. So this creates a conflict for her because I believe that as soon as they saw my name on that petition, they went into how can we invalidate this petition. That's my thought. I don't have proof. That's just me and my tinfoil hat dreaming this up.
Right, but so you don't believe that this was strictly about the date being wrong?
No.
This is really about
their bigger plan. And they're operating, she is making sure that she blocks my petition. Not to say that I could win, but I'm going to give it hell. I'm going to try to run. I was not afforded that opportunity.
So there are some Democrats on that board, aren't there?
Right.
How did they vote?
Well, if you're a good Democrat, are you going to do anything good for a Republican? Come on now.
You know, I don't know anymore what's going on around here.
Right. But if there's an opportunity as a Democrat to bash a Republican, let's do it.
So they just went along with it.
Absolutely. I can't say it, but that's just how politics works.
What? But I mean, is it really supposed to work that way?
No.
I don't know that's supposed to work that way.
No.
I think you have elections. I think you say what you want about the other person. I think elbows get sharp during elections. I don't think you're supposed to run for office just so your party can keep a tab on that office so you can appoint somebody else and keep people off the ballot.
Look at the recorder's office.
What should the citizens of Marion do?
It's not illegal.
Not illegal. No. Nobody's saying
sleazy.
That.
Sleazy. It is sleazy. So I don't like it, but shame on the Democrats for not doing the same thing.
Well, I mean, Kerr Murray, we know, is in his 80s,
mm-hmm.
and he's been in this position longer than anybody. I think he's the longest-serving politician in Marion right now.
Oh, yeah, right now, because Mike Thomas is gone.
Yeah, so Andy's been around a long time. So this is just, we didn't really want to run for this, but we think we can keep a hold on these offices, and then we'll just pass them right off to these other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the Republican Party right now in Marion.
Yeah.
Why is it that way?
I have no idea. It's that's the people that are in that party.
Now, have you ever thought about becoming an independent, even though you have Republican beliefs, as far as the party itself goes, but because of the sleaziness that you believe is going on in the local party?
Right. So I separate the local party from Republicanism, if you will. So it would, to me, if I, and that went into my decision to not run for as an independent, is because to me it looks like I'm changing party for opportunity, but I will always stick to my principles, and my principles align with the Republican Party.
If you could wave a wand or make a decision, how do we straighten out the city?
We need to focus on the important issues, and the noise needs to go away. I don't know what else to say, but we have a lot of noise.
Who created the noise?
That goes back to who threw the first punch, and I don't know.
Yeah. And we don't know at this point.
We don't.
But hopefully we will find out.
I hope we do Monday.
In the grand scheme of things, you know, I was talking about this yesterday when we got this news with somebody. As far as time goes, how does this rate in Marion stories in politics, this whole saga with the auditor?
It probably rates as far as perception. This is a dark time for the city, and it's unfortunate because we have a lot of good things going on in the city. Our downtown is absolutely blowing up. But yet, all we can talk about is how someone treated somebody, and just nonsense to me.
And long term, this will all clear up, we hope.
Yes, I hope it's a short term. Monday is the last of all these petty issues.
Do you see anything coming of any of this?
I don't know what can come of any of this. It's so strange. I'm trying to wrap my head around all that's going on, and I don't know what to make of any of it.
With about 30 seconds left, when you saw that she was not leaving yesterday, what went through your head?
It's still going through my head. I'm trying to nail down something, but and it's not a good answer. I just don't know what to think. It's strange. Everything about this situation is odd, and this has been a Twilight Zone type episode the last month.
And right now, Miranda McGinnis continues as auditor.
Yep.
And the city continues as it will for the time being, and the second meeting of the new city council will be Monday.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if people want to come, 6:30.
6:30, second floor.
There you go. Might want to be there for this one. Who knows what's going to happen. Jason Schauber, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Matt Morgan coming up next.
I like that, and I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at wwgh1071.com.